anthem on Sunday. We are all celebrating some milestone anniversaries here this year: the 65th running of the Daytona 500, NASCAR's 75th anniversary season, and for the Thunderbirds, their 70th year flying. You probably heard them practicing or saw them practicing earlier today. So now I'm going to turn it over to Lieutenant Colonel Justin Elliott, call sign Astro Thunderbird 1, Commander Leader, who is going to introduce the team that will be performing the flyover on Sunday.
All right, thank you. Yeah, here, I'll move down a little bit. All right, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Justin Elliott. I go by Astro. I'm the commander leader of the Air Force Thunderbirds. I go by Thunderbird 1 when flying. I wanted to speak for just a minute to you guys today because I want you to understand how important this event is for us, not just at the macro level for the Thunderbirds, dating back to a very rich history, but also at kind of the micro level for the Daytona 500 itself. And I'm going to tell you a couple stories that I think you might find fairly interesting today. So, first, let's talk about the Thunderbirds as a whole. It's our 70th anniversary this year. This team is very important to the United States Air Force. It's very important to the United States in general. And I'm going to take you back in time, as this is our 70th anniversary, so that we can really paint a picture of what this team represents to the United States. If you go back, let's go back even before the Thunderbirds were founded, 1946. There was a demonstration team founded in 1946 called the Blue Angels. I'm sure you've heard of them. The Blue Angels were founded in 46 because there was this new thing that was about to happen in 1947 called the Air Force. The Air Force was founded in 47, as some of you are familiar, and the Blue Angels were founded by the Navy as a recruiting tool because they needed to find a way to keep their air wing and keep recruiting for aviation into the United States Navy after the Air Force was founded. A lot of people think of the Thunderbirds as a recruiting tool for the Air Force, but that's actually not the case. The Thunderbirds weren't founded until 1953, several years later. The Air Force was well established at this point. And off of competing teams, the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds were founded in 53 with a very different mission. It was not a recruiting tool. If it was a recruiting tool, we would have painted the jets blue and silver. They'd be Air Force colors. The Thunderbirds are painted red, white, and blue, as you can clearly see, and they have been since the very beginning in 53. The Thunderbirds were founded to connect the American population to its military at the rise of the jet age, to build trust between the people and its military at the very advent of the jet age. That's what this team has always been about. It's been about inspiration. If you get inspiration right, you unite in divided times. You inspire our youth and our adults in the United States to give to something bigger than themselves, in the name of service to something bigger than themselves. You draw the best people from around the world to American shores in pursuit of that same level of excellence. That is what the Thunderbirds have always been here to do. And that's what we're taking on the road this year, just like we did 70 years ago in 1953 when this team was first founded. So we're very excited to bring this show on the road to you guys on our 70th anniversary. And we're very excited to make our very first public appearance on our 70th anniversary right here at the Daytona 500. For anyone who's not tracking that, that's a really big deal to us. This is the first time that anyone in the United States has seen the 2023 Thunderbirds team. So we're happy to be here. And I'm going to tell you why we're so happy to be here. Again, it goes back to history. History is important to us. So not only is it the 65th anniversary of the Daytona 500, not only is it the 75th anniversary for NASCAR and the 70th anniversary of the Thunderbirds, but our histories actually come together a long, long time ago, all the way back to 1954. In 1954, a brand new Thunderbirds team was flying an air show right here at Daytona, only it was over Daytona Beach. And at the time, the Thunderbirds were just a diamond. It was just a four-ship. And we had this other aircraft airborne that we used to call an air spare. And that was because sometimes a jet would break airborne and we would kick that wingman out that had a problem and bring that air spare into the diamond and we would continue to fly the air show. And that was the way we did things for that first year or so. Well, in 1954, Daytona Beach was busy, and it was busy, but not with airplanes, with birds. And there were a lot of birds up and down the beach, as you probably still see today. And we had to find a way to get rid of those birds before we brought the diamond in for its air show. And the way we did that is we thought one day, hey, well, let's take that air spare, that guy that's up there flying anyway, and let's send him down the beach as low and fast as he can so that we can scare away those birds and then bring the air show in and kick it off with the Diamond Air Show. And well, it turned out the crowd really liked that. They liked that first high-speed pass from our air spare, which we then renamed to a solo and made it officially part of the demonstration the very next year. So in 1954, right here at Daytona, The Solo was born on the Thunderbirds, and as you can see now, it's an integrated part of our demonstration. Thunderbird 5 and 6, that we'll introduce here in a minute, are our solos that are a permanent part of this. And I wanted to give you that little bit of history because the Thunderbirds in Daytona go back even before the races. And so with that, I just wanted to end with saying very happy to be here. We're going to open up for questions in a minute, but first I'm going to introduce my team to you guys so you understand who you're talking to here. So starting right next to me, this is Captain Zachary Taylor. He goes by Zeke. He is Thunderbird 2. Thunderbird 2 is the left wingman for the demonstration. He's also going to be the instructor for the new Thunderbird 1 starting next year. So his position is really important because he flies left wing and learns that. And then he has to learn the Thunderbird 1 position so we can instruct the new boss next year. It's a big deal. He originally hails from the F-15C and then is flying F-16s with us now here in the Thunderbirds. Right next to him, you've got Major Jake Impelizzeri. He goes by Primo. He's Thunderbird 3. He flies on the right wing. He was actually Thunderbird 8 last year. So last year, he was responsible for the entire ground setup for our team and the advanced pilot narration. He actually flew Cindric last year right before he won the race. So that was a pretty important thing for Thunderbird 8 and Thunderbird 7. And now he's in the demonstration. So now he's on my right wing, and next year he'll be that slot pilot that runs the Diamond Instructor Pilot, which brings me to Major Lauren Schlichting. She goes by Threat. Thunderbird 4, she is the slot pilot for the team, which means she flies right behind me in that diamond formation. She is the lead instructor for this demonstration. She's got that wide view from the back where she can see the formation of number 2 and 3, see the errors that I make, that these guys make. So she's a critical part of this demonstration. She originally hails from the F-15E Strike Eagle and joined the team last year for the first time and is now our lead instructor pilot. Our lead instructor pilot for the solos is right next to her, so Thunderbird 5 is Major Daniel Katz. He goes by Thunder. It's a pretty good call sign to have on this team. So Thunder's the lead solo. He's the instructor for those solos that were born right here in Daytona, and he's responsible for all of the max performance maneuvers in the demonstration. He's been an F-16 pilot for his whole life. He knows the aircraft extremely well, and he uses that to teach the rest of us how to max perform that jet. Right next to him, we've got our new member of the team. Thunderbird 6 is Major Eric Tice. He goes by Miami. He is also a core F-16 native. He's responsible for the sneak passes on the Thunderbirds. He's the opposing solo. And when you hear something that shocks you and scares you, it's usually from him. So you can blame him for anything that you heard this morning that was loud and scary. All right. Now, the Thunderbird 1 through 6 are what we affectionately refer to as the show ponies. I'll include myself in that. So we're the ones that eat glittered oats and get out here and fly jets, and people are familiar with Thunderbird 1 through 6, generally speaking. But what's really interesting is the other officers on the Thunderbird team, what we call the glue that holds this team together, is extremely important. And I'm going to introduce the three that we have with us here at the end of the line so you can kind of understand that it takes a whole lot more than flying airplanes to put this demonstration and these flyovers together. So starting with Thunderbird 9, Captain Travis Grindstaff, he goes by Angry. He's actually the least angry person you will ever meet in your entire life. He's very nice. That smile's real. Angry runs what we call the shine. So believe it or not, when you're setting up on a 30-mile run-in for a flyover for the national anthem or doing a maneuver that is low to the ground on a hazy day that's several miles away from the line to try to bring it back to that exact show center position where we try to tag between the C and the E in World Center of Racing on that flyover, and it's really important to the Thunderbirds to be extremely precise. And the way we do that is what we call the shine. So Angry runs the shine. He's actually got a series of signal mirrors and then a big red or green light gun that he'll use to follow us. And that's pretty hard to do because he's following us 10 miles away sometimes and keeping that light precisely on my jet so that I can find that show center point and hit it. It's very visual. Everything we do is very manual and very visual. So that shine is a really important role for the team. It's how we find show center. By the way, he's also a doctor. He's a flight surgeon. So he's the one that keeps us healthy. Think sports medicine. Think about the fact that 1 through 6 are the only 6 people on this planet that can fly these positions right now. When one of us gets sick, Angry, as our team doctor, is the one responsible for putting us back together again and getting us to a point where we can fly these demonstrations, these flyovers, and then we'll recover later. So it's a pretty big role, and we're really lucky to have Angry with us. All right, is it doctor and shine master appealing? That's yeah. I love it. All right, right next to Angry, this continues to get exciting. So Thunderbird 11 is Major Bobby Gula. He goes by Swag. You'll see him out there with that signature swag around. Swag. 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 So let me tell you about Swag. Swag's our maintenance officer. So when you think of the Thunderbirds, don't think about six airplanes. I want you to think about 135 people. That's what it takes to put this thing together. 135 people that we deploy across the United States every Thursday, set up our shows, and then deploy back across the United States every Monday, rebuild and do it all again. We do that for 9 months straight. And when you think about Swag's role in that, about 70 of the people on the Thunderbirds answered to Swag, our maintenance officer. They are a really important part of this demonstration because I cannot emphasize how difficult it is to take 8 fighter jets across the United States twice every week, land, lose 3 hours going west to east, and by the very next morning, turn all 8 of those fighter jets to flying. So they land broken, his team puts them all back together again, and the very next morning we'll fly every single one of the jets. And then we'll do it again in the afternoon to practice. And we'll do that for 9 straight months. That is an enormous ask for these guys. And by the way, we're operating out of sites like Daytona International, not U.S. Air Force's bases that have full back shop support and everything that we're used to. So this is truly a deployed environment for us. And the only reason it's possible to put these demonstrations on is Thunderbird 11 right there in the team that he runs. It's a really big deal for the team. All right, not to be outdone, Thunderbird 12, Captain Katie Toner. She goes by Agent. She is our agent. It's the easiest way to understand her role. Thunderbird 12 is the public affairs officer. It's a very rare thing to have a public affairs officer at the squadron level. But the Thunderbirds are, in effect, a team that was built to connect the American population to its military. And so that public perception, that public outreach, is all driven by Captain Toner, by Agent. And it's a pretty incredible thing that she's done in the last couple of years that she's been a part of this team. Because thanks to an extraordinary amount of work on her behalf, we are now sending the right message. We are no longer flying influencers. We are now flying people who do real things in the name of service to something bigger than themselves, true hometown heroes. We're not going for outreach based on numbers of followers. We're going for outreach based on quality and what you have done for this country. And what's a real miracle about that is that she's been able to push that message, the right message, to this country right now and do it while increasing our brand's popularity amongst the American population. That's a very special thing. And so we're very thankful to her for what she's done. She's responsible for all the events like this, all the outreach that we do as a team, whether that's to an elementary school or to national media. And so with that, I want to turn it over to all of you for any questions that you have for anyone on the team. And we'll pass the microphones down so you can fire away. Please pick on the new guys.
All right, we'll start there with Mark and then go to Zach and Dave.
Hey, Mark Long with the Associated Press. So who got to fly Jimmy Johnson 7-time?
It's actually happening right now. That's Thunderbird 7.
Okay.
He goes by Slinga, and he's our director of operations. He's the second in command of the squadron.
All right, so you can't answer the next question because he was confident he was going to puke, so we don't know the results of that.
We do not know the results of that yet, sir, but we'll get back to you right away.
We'll go to Zach, and then Dave, and then Alan.
Zach Tan's ready, kickingthetires.net. Top Gun Maverick released since the last time you guys were here. What do you think? I mean, it thrilled millions of people. What do you think movies like that do to represent what you guys do? And did you check it out? Like, did it thrill you as much as it did a lot of the audience?
All right, Threat, you put together that viewing party for us, so I want you to take that one.
Yeah, we actually went as a squadron. So we were out at the Indy 500, and we took one of our nights off, and we went as a squadron to see it. I think it's pretty cool. It's pretty important. Sometimes it's really hard to connect what we do in the military with people not in the military, and it's just one of those pieces or bridges, if you will, to kind of give you a little bit of an inside look. It's exactly what this team does as well. So flying in the combat Air Force, it's really hard just to connect to the local population and the local people, but with teams like this, with movies like Top Gun, we're able to bring to you guys or to the American population things that we love and why we're so passionate about what we do and why it's so important that we have, you know, the military and the Thunderbirds and movies like that, really, for outreach and just kind of a bridge to understand each other better. And the movie was awesome.
Dave Moody from the Motor Racing Network and SiriusXM. I think you've kind of answered this in the last couple of minutes, but we have a lot of nicknames in our business, too. Do you call each other by your real names or by your nicknames? I'm thinking nicknames.
Oh, we absolutely use our call signs. Our call signs are effectively our name. In fact, I would say, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong, but most of us, even when we're interacting with family friends, like civilians outside of the Air Force, most of my family friends call me Astro, and that's usually how it is with fighter pilots.
Do you pick your call signs, or does somebody give them?
Whoa.
I'll tag on to that and say that Boss is the worst person to answer that question because we all call him Boss. He has two call signs, essentially. He's only Astro to his peers and friends. He's Boss to all of us. And no, we don't pick our call signs.
There's a pretty specific ceremony that goes on to earn your fighter pilot call sign, and it usually happens about a year into your time flying a fighter or joining a fighter squadron for the first time. About a year after you join, you've messed up enough things that you can hold a ceremony and talk about a lot of those stories and come up with a name. It has to sound cool, but it's usually not about something cool that you did.
Know each other. Yeah.
All right. At least two women calling you Boss, you're way ahead of the rest.
go to Alan.
I don't know about that one, sir.
Yes, this is Alan from the Alan and Aaron Sports Talk Radio Show. How you doing? I've had the distinct pleasure of interviewing Captain Katie Toner, agent, last year. Radio Row, so I just wanted a kind of two-part question. Number one, can you update us on the status of your career this past year or anything significant that's happened last year? And the second part is, can you kind of give us a synopsis of what you do in the practice earlier today?
It's a loaded question.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let me attempt to answer for you. So quick update on me for your show. Last year was crazy. Daytona, obviously, like Boss already mentioned, is our first public event of the year each year. So you got to talk to me last year when it was just kicking off my first full season. So this is kicking off my second full season and final season with the team. So I guess that's the biggest update is we're currently hiring for Thunderbird 12, which is new, exciting, a little scary, but a lot of fun. It's really cool to see how far the team has come in the last couple years. And I'm just really excited to pass that off to someone new to give them the opportunity to experience all of this and learn and grow and be part of this team. So I'd say that's the biggest update in my life. No, I don't know where I'm going next. Kind of like Threat alluded to, we all go back to the combat Air Force after our time on the team. So I'll still be a public affairs officer. I could be anywhere in the world, though. No idea where. I'll just be doing public affairs for a different unit. So we'll see what the Air Force has in store. And then your second question this morning was fun. Yeah, it was fun.
Okay.
We did a couple of flyover practices. And we have a little something special in store for the 70th anniversary, and that's all I'll say.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm going to go to the far left to Al, and then we'll go to Jacob and Terry.
Yeah, Al Pearson, Auto Week. I'm assuming none of you people shot down the balloon. All right, is that a good assumption? If put in a position in an F-22 to do so, are y'all capable of shooting down a balloon?
Zeke's our air pilot.
Thanks for the question. If I had to choose, it'd be an F-15C Eagle. But we have been practicing day in and day out for this demonstration, working 2-a-days in New Mexico, out in California, working formation flying and getting ready for the show season. So unfortunately, it wasn't us, but I would take an F-15C over F-22 any day.
We'll go to Jacob and then Terry.
Jacob Zielman, 77, Sports Media, kickingthetires.net. I guess for any of you that want to speak on it that have done this before, but what is the significance of, you know, not just this being the kickoff for you guys, but for an event that is seen by, you know, so many people around the world, what it means to so many people around the world, what's the significance of being selected and being able to be a part of the 500 festivities?
Thunder.
It's awesome. It's awesome to be here and be part of, you know, we call the Air Force being part of bigger than something, be a part of something bigger than yourself. This is 100% bigger. You know, all these teams come in, all these people come in, and they really unite around one specific big event. So to be here is really special for us. And then it's really the culmination of all the winter training that we've done that Zeke alluded to. And kind of have our first big show because we have to get used to this for the next 9 months. And so I remember last year being real nervous. And nerves are good because it means you're ready for the event and you're scared. And that's kind of what gets the flight or fight mentality out of the way.
Come to the far right to Terry.
Terry Sabiston with WNDB, also a veteran, was F-15s, avionics, Langley, 1st TAC Fighter Wing, 71st Tactical Fighter Squadron. Fellas, thank you for the job you do. Question, being a Thunderbird, you've done a lot to get here. How many hours does each one of you have flying, and how long have y'all been in service? And just let us know a little bit of your background on how you got to this point.
Thank you for the question, sir. We'll go ahead and go down the line, actually, because I think it'll be cool to see kind of the difference in experience that we all have as you go from lead down to our newest solo. So I'll start with myself. So 18 years in the Air Force, combat tours, 255 hours in the F-15E, and then I was a test pilot and a weapons instructor, which is Top Gun for the Air Force, in the F-15E and then the F-35. Did some flight tests on the new Advanced Eagles, which became the F-15EX, and then joined the team with about 3,000 hours in 30-plus different aircraft as an experimental test pilot. Switched to the F-16 for the first time, flying this demonstration as lead starting last year.
I am wrapping up or coming up on 10 years in the Air Force right now. I spent the last 6 years flying F-15s in Japan, Kadena Air Base. So in those 6 years, I got just under 1,000 hours in the F-15, probably close to 1,500 total hours now. I switched to the F-16 in August, so this is a new platform for me. So around 1,000 hours as one of the youngest guys on the team is where I stand.
I've been F-16s my whole career, so I did a year and a half in Korea and then 4 years in Japan and then a little year stint there in South Carolina before getting on the Thunderbirds, and I got about 1,400 hours in the F-16.
I was an F-15E Strike Eagle pilot before this, so I flew that for 7 years. I have about 1,300 hours in the Strike Eagle flying. I was stationed in England in North Carolina, then I have probably like 420 combat hours over Iraq and Syria, and then I switched to the F-16 for this job, so total I have about 1,800 hours of fighter time.
I've been F-16s my entire time, so I have about 1,300 hours in the F-16. I've been to Korea for a year, and then I was stationed in Italy with Miami for about 2 years, and F-16 through and through.
Miami? I'm coming up on 10 years of service, and I started out in Italy, and then I went to Korea, and then I was lucky enough to go back to Italy. I've been F-16s my entire career. So, and I have 1,500 hours.
Yeah, so my job's a little bit different. I know we said I'm a doctor, but I'm also a flight surgeon. So something cool about doctors in the military is if you do certain things, you also get to do really other cool things. So I get to fly all the time. I have about 650 hours, about 350 of those in combat, but it's on about 13 different airframes. So we don't command the aircraft necessarily, but we fly as support staff and like part of the crews. So part of my job, as Boss alluded to, is understanding what they go through every single day to keep them safe. For instance, a medication that you may take just daily for something like an allergy could possibly kill you when you're under the G's and the speed that these guys fly at, and gals. It's incredible. It's like a very intense job for these people. And I gotta say, like it's a lot of fun, especially being a doctor for this team. I think, you know, probably you ask us how we got here. I think what I'd say about everyone on this team, the way we got here is just by being excellent at something we're passionate in. And I think Boss alluded to this earlier, but service to something bigger than yourself, like pursuing excellence in the name of helping other people and that service that you can show others, that's what we're all about. We're all about helping inspire people to do that, because if we had a country where every single person did that every single day, man, what a better place this would be.
I have been in for about 12 years, so my flight time right now is probably pushing about 12 hours.
Yeah.
So,
great number.
Yeah, and five of them were hopping at airports on the way here just a couple days ago. Me and Seven took a couple stops for gas on the way in here and then flew in. 12 years in right now, career maintenance officer. Thank you for your service, sir. Thank you for your service in aircraft maintenance as an avionics troop. That's awesome. We'll hire you back if on our team. We could always use good avionics troops. I've been Japan, Korea, Salt Lake City, Valdosta, Georgia, right up the road from here, and then out to Nellis Air Force Base with a couple deployments in between there. But yeah, that's it.
I'm surprised. I thought I was going to have the lowest. I did last year. That's okay. As PA, obviously, I don't pilot aircraft. So I think I am sitting at about 30 hours in the F-16 total. Outside of that, lots of C-17 and C-130 time. Don't care for those, but that's okay. We appreciate them getting us from point A to point B. In any case, that being said, I've been in the Air Force. I've been commissioned for about 8 years now, graduated from the Air Force Academy with a couple of these guys. They're not counting their academy time. I like to because the number rounds out to 12, and that's my favorite number. So I've been stationed all over like this guy. I was also at Moody Air Force Base just up the road in Valdosta, Georgia. Got to come to a few Daytona 500s, so it's awesome to see how far this event has come. After Valdosta, I got to go to Los Angeles, did a little bit of work in the space world, which is interesting. Few deployments in there as well, and then came to the Thunderbirds at Nellis Air Force Base.
One update, Jimmy Johnson just landed.
Jimmy just landed also. Do we know what Cody is?
I don't know. We'll see.
We will find out how he did and let you know.
All right, well, we want to thank you guys for coming out today. We are so looking forward to the performance on Sunday.